At Lowe's, our members get more. With the My Lowe's Rewards programs, you can shop member-only deals for your home and business every week. Plus, members earn points on eligible purchases. So what are you waiting for? Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change. Free standard shipping not available in Alaska and Hawaii. Exclusions and more terms apply.
Hi, I'm Matt.
And I'm Leah, and we're from the Grown Up Stuff podcast.
And just in time for tax season, on this week's episode, we're chatting with CPA Lisa Green Lewis about how small businesses can tackle their taxes using TurboTax Business.
A Forbes study mentioned that a whopping 93% of small businesses overpay their taxes. And 17% of Gen Zers believed that you could write off any expense as a business expense. So
can't blame them.
It's really important to do your taxes right.
Listen to Grown Up Stuff on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Hi, I'm Matt.
And I'm Leah, and we're from the Grown Up Stuff podcast.
And just in time for tax season, on this week's episode, we're chatting with CPA Lisa Green Lewis about how small businesses can tackle their taxes using TurboTax Business.
A Forbes study mentioned that a whopping 93% of small businesses overpay their taxes. And 17% of Gen Zers believed that you could write off any expense as a business expense. So
can't blame them.
It's really important to do your taxes right.
Listen to Grown Up Stuff on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
Brian Koberger's defense team just threw a curveball hinting that he may have autism spectrum disorder, ASD, and arguing that that factor should weigh into whether he faces the death penalty. Here's the thing, though. Autism isn't an automatic legal shield. Very rarely used, and the way the court handles this argument could set a major precedent for future capital cases. Will this strategy help Koberger, or could it completely backfire? To break down the legal implications, we're joined by Eric Faddis, seasoned defense attorney, former prosecutor. Eric, when you hear the defense introducing autism into a death penalty case like this, without a confirmed diagnosis, at least not at this moment in time of our recording, could likely happen. I would not be shocked. Do you see this as a legitimate mitigation strategy, or is it a Hail Mary pass that might do more harm than good at this point?
Well, Tony, I think that the strategy is clearly to try and avoid the death penalty by establishing some kind of mental health evidence that could garner some sympathy from the jury. And that's where the autism comes into play. On the other hand, it's not dissociative identity disorder. It's not hallucinations. It's not the type of mental health evidence we would typically see in terms of mitigation. There are a ton of people with autism who don't allegedly stab four people. And so it could backfire, in my opinion.
Yeah, I would very much wonder as well if this could turn out to be not exactly a great move by them. One of the things I was wondering of this, you know, could this be very much a double-edged sword if it is allowed in? I know the prosecution is arguing right now they don't want any of the mental health records in here, which that could be what happens. But if it is let in, I mean, it certainly doesn't excuse the case, but it to me, if I were on the jury, I'd be going, oh yeah, this points more to that he did do it than that he didn't do it.
Yeah, no, I hear you. And then on top of that, what it could allow is for the prosecution to really delve into any other mental health records that could exist. So maybe there are mental health records that talk about autism, and those could be somehow exculpatory or helpful for Koberger. But there could be other stuff in those mental health records that are problematic, you know, homicidal ideations, stuff like that. And defense could be opening the door to that kind of information coming in and hurting Koberger.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things that could come into your, I mean, in your experience, I mean, so many times, let me say this, so many times in cases, we go immediately over to psychopathy or sociopathy or something that's going on, usually some sort of antisocial personality disorder that maybe somewhat explains the recipe for how this person's brain works. But we very rarely hear the word autism spectrum disorder thrown into that because they're different. They're not remotely the same thing. Now, the two can, of course coexist. You can have someone who's on the spectrum who also borderline, psychopath, whatever, it doesn't, but the two are not necessarily always hand in hand, very rarely hand in hand. Is this something new you've seen to introduce ASD into a case like this and not some other sort of mental health disorder?
In my experience, it's less commonly used than other mental health issues. Like I said, one that commonly comes up is dissociative identity disorder, formerly called schizophrenia. Mm-hmm. And usually the defense says, hey, this guy was hearing voices. He had these distorted delusions that were causing him paranoia. And that resulted in him acting out in a criminal fashion. There's not the same direct link between someone who's experiencing autism and someone who engaged in violent criminal behavior, allegedly.
No, I mean, it's 1,000% different. And I hate the term autism spectrum disorder, too, because it's just so damn broad. It's like saying food when, like, you're trying to, like, identify a specific type of, what do you like to eat? Food. Well, what type of food? Food. Like, yeah, what is that? It's so extremely broad, and there's so many variations. That's why it is a spectrum. It seems to be kind of a catch-all to a certain extent. And I think a huge chunk of the population is on the spectrum some way, shape, or form, far more than we're even really recognize or aware of. Let's talk about what could be happening here, you know, if they do introduce us, or if they don't introduce us, if this is taken off the table, if Koberger's defense is told, we're sorry, you're not going to get this. What does that mean going forward? Because, I mean, Ann Taylor is still throwing everything at the wall to see what sticks. And honestly, I don't know. This could be a double-edged sword. This could provide some grace to not get him killed. Where do they go after this if the judge, well, I wouldn't be surprised, says, yeah, in Idaho, we don't really do that.
If the judge excludes alleged evidence of autism, what that does potentially is, if Koberger is convicted at the guilt phase of a death penalty trial, then they move to the penalty phase, which is where typically the jury makes a recommendation as to death or not death, and. If they get to the penalty phase, then Koberger doesn't really have a card to play to say, hey, this was caused by something else. Instead, he looks like a cold-blooded killer for which there is no mental health explanation.
Let me ask you this about how they're introducing this now in pretrial motions, or how they're about to, as of our recording. I mean, we're just seeing the documents on the back end that have the words ASD on them, but very likely to be filed, or at least very strongly being considered. The guilty phase versus a penalty phase, I get, you know, they're trying to introduce this so it can be argued in the penalty phase, but if we're going to argue that it can be argued in the penalty phase, does that totally open it up then to conversation during the actual guilt phase of the trial for the prosecution to bring it up if they're anticipating that that the defense is going to bring this up as an issue in the penalty phase?
It potentially could. And like I mentioned, you know, the prosecution could delve into some mental health records that they would not get otherwise, mm-hmm. and could use little tidbits from those mental health records that appear incriminating. And so that's why it's truly a double-edged sword. And defense may even try to introduce it at the guilt phase to try and garner some kind of sympathy. Now, whether the judge will allow that is a different question. Even if the judge disallows it, whether the attorneys will try to get it in is yet another question.
The fact that we're talking about this right now, to the layman out there maybe going, well, gosh, they're already, you know, this seems like they're just trying to save his life at this point by going after this. Is that what's going on now? I mean, are they out of arguments in pretrial motions where we've literally just kind of come down to this now? And while without saying it, they're saying it without saying it. They're just basically trying to find a way that he doesn't get killed by a firing squad.
There are problematic implications for the defense in putting forth this autism evidence, because what's the purpose of putting it forth if he didn't do this? What would it matter? Why would it be relevant at all if he was completely innocent? The interpretation by some is that they're putting this forward as an excuse for his conduct, which is different than saying he didn't do it.
Yeah, and is it supposed to be an excuse for his conduct? Because, I mean, what is the angle? Is the angle on this strictly have mercy on him if he's found guilty, when he's found guilty? Is there any other angle to this that they are going to be able to use or would attempt to use in court? I mean, considering the only thing they have right now is that alibi of he likes to look at stars, and even the prosecution is going, yeah, we don't think that should be in there either, because it's not really an alibi.
Yeah, Tony, in looking at especially recent death penalty cases, it is a huge factor that is often given great weight by the jury, and that is if there are any mental health issues going on that the defendant was contending with that other people might not have to contend with, that could have had some contributory role in the events of what occurred. And so even if it's not, you know, squarely within schizophrenia or bipolar disorder or one of the more common disorders we see, any kind of mental health information could sway a juror to think, hey, this guy had to deal with stuff other people didn't have to deal with. It doesn't justify it, but could it spare his life? It could.
Yeah, I mean, and it's such a different thing than those other arguments of, you know, what was once called schizophrenia and so many other areas that, you know, if there's a diagnosis of, you know, could be lenient. I don't think there is. I would not be surprised if there has been an ASD diagnosis at some point in his life. I mean, honestly, watching him for 5 minutes and knowing what we know about him, I was like, he's on the spectrum. I just like immediately kind of felt that way right away. But with that being said, where would you be taking this? What would you be arguing in a court of law? Because being on the spectrum doesn't make you a cold-blooded killer. I mean, it can mess with your empathy and your skills of having empathy, but it doesn't make you someone who just doesn't get that this is wrong or right. It's not psychopathy. It's actually kind of gives you, I think, more of a superpower as a killer to a certain extent if you want it, because you can get so detailed. You can be a genius on some of these things. You can really go to far more extents than the average neurotypical person can. Again, it feels like it plays more into his possible guilt than it does any sort of innocence.
I mean, the panoply of symptoms that are associated with autism spectrum, like you mentioned, are very wide because it's kind of a catch-all thing. So, does a lack of empathy or distorted perception or dysregulated thinking, that kind of thing, does that somehow like connect to, oh, that's why he stabbed four people? I don't think that it does. And on top of that, you could get jurors who either have autism or know people who do, who say, gosh, my brother has to deal with this and it hasn't been easy for him, but geez, he didn't go and kill four people. And so this guy shouldn't get off either.
And I think that's another thing, the public understanding in general of what ASD is. I mean, you deal with jurors and their understanding of the world around them. How How educated do you think you're going to find folks who are really going to grasp what this is and truly grasp what it means?
You know, it is something that has received emerging attention over time, but still, you know, I don't even know really all of the fundamentals of ASD, and I'm an attorney who deals with mental health issues regularly. And so what the defense is going to have to do is they will have to educate this jury on this is what ASD is, these are the potential symptoms that could have given rise to this behavior, and therefore you should have leniency on my client. Now, will that win the day? That's surely an open question.
Yeah, that is the open question for where this is going to go. Trial still scheduled for late summer of this year. We'll see if we get there. Anything in your mind that, because every week it seems like there's some new motion that's coming up here, and we still have plenty of time before we actually get to trial. If you're on Koberger's defense, what else do you think they have up their sleeve to try and throw at the wall before we get there?
Oh, gosh, you know, in a death penalty defense, you have to conduct extensive investigation into your client's background. You have to look into whether was there any prior trauma, any prior victimization? Was there any prior biological issues with which this person contended, an ongoing illness that could have affected a person for a lifetime? You can leave no stone unturned. And so I am rest assured that Ann Taylor, his attorney, is doing that. And there will likely be more cards to play as we get a little closer. We'll just have to wait and see.
The latest true crime stories, expert breakdowns, and shocking twists all in one place. Press subscribe now to the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Hi, I'm Matt.
And I'm Leah, and we're from the Grown Up Stuff podcast.
And just in time for tax season, on this week's episode, we're chatting with CPA Lisa Green Lewis about how small businesses can tackle their taxes using TurboTax Business.
A Forbes study mentioned that a whopping 93% of small businesses overpay their taxes. And 17% of Gen Zers believed that you could write off any expense as a business expense. So
can't blame them.
It's really important to do your taxes right.
Listen to Grown Up Stuff on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Grown Up Stuff.
Hi, I'm Matt.
And I'm Leah, and we're from the Grown Up Stuff podcast.
And just in time for tax season, on this week's episode, we're chatting with CPA Lisa Green Lewis about how small businesses can tackle their taxes using TurboTax Business.
A Forbes study mentioned that a whopping 93% of small businesses overpay their taxes. And 17% of Gen Zers believed that you could write off any expense as a business expense. So
can't blame them.
It's really important to do your taxes right.
Listen to Grown Up Stuff on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Hi, I'm Matt.
And I'm Leah, and we're from the Grown Up Stuff podcast.
And just in time for tax season, on this week's episode, we're chatting with CPA Lisa Green Lewis about how small businesses can tackle their taxes using TurboTax Business.
A Forbes study mentioned that a whopping 93% of small businesses overpay their taxes. And 17% of Gen Zers believed that you could write off any expense as a business expense. So
can't blame them.
It's really important to do your taxes right.
Listen to Grown Up Stuff on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Hi, I'm Matt.
And I'm Leah, and we're from the Grown Up Stuff podcast.
And just in time for tax season, on this week's episode, we're chatting with CPA Lisa Green Lewis about how small businesses can tackle their taxes using TurboTax Business.
A Forbes study mentioned that a whopping 93% of small businesses overpay their taxes. And 17% of Gen Zers believed that you could write off any expense as a business expense. So
can't blame them.
It's really important to do your taxes right.
Listen to Grown Up Stuff on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Grown Up Stuff.
Hi, I'm Matt.
And I'm Leah, and we're from the Grown Up Stuff podcast.
And just in time for tax season, on this week's episode, we're chatting with CPA Lisa Green Lewis about how small businesses can tackle their taxes using TurboTax Business.
a Forbes study mentioned that a whopping 93% of small businesses overpay their taxes. And 17% of Gen Zers believed that you could write off any expense as a business expense. So
can't blame them.
It's really important to do your taxes right.
Listen to Grown Up Stuff on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Grown Up Stuff.
Hi, I'm Matt.
And I'm Leah, and we're from the Grown Up Stuff podcast.
And just in time for tax season, on this week's episode, we're chatting with CPA Lisa Green Lewis about how small businesses can tackle their taxes using TurboTax Business.
A Forbes study mentioned that a whopping 93% of small businesses overpay their taxes. And 17% of Gen Zers believed that you could write off any expense as a business expense. So
can't blame them.
It's really important to do your taxes right.
Listen to Grown Up Stuff on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Grown Up Stuff.